Let me shift gears to talk a little bit about the Merck Mutual Funds, our Merck Hard Currency Fund and our Merck Asian Currency Fund. Unlike most mutual funds, we try to be completely transparent in what we do. We publish the holdings in our funds at least on a monthly basis. Indeed, we had an update to our holdings, I believe it was on October 10th on our website. The reason was that the current crisis did move us to make some more significant adjustments. Typically, we try to make adjustments very gradually, but we wanted to keep investors informed of what we do. Importantly, though, we try to, given the choice of two different securities that we buy, we tend to prefer, in the current environment, the one with the lower risk profile. That means, for example, we have some money in Swiss franc. Now, we tend to buy Swiss T-bills in the current environment. We're not allowed to say what we will buy in the future, but in the past we have done that, and that's currently the prudent choice, that at least that's what we consider right now. Now, Swiss T-bills are currently yielding zero. When you buy them at auction, they're issued at what's called at par, and basically you're giving the money, the government money for nothing, the Swiss government in this case. Of course, the one criticism of gold has always been that it doesn't pay interest. Well, guess what? The Swiss T-bills currently don't pay interest either. But by doing so, we are sacrificing yield in return for trying to minimize our counterparty risk. And similarly, in Europe, in the European Union, we were offered just about a week ago a 4.8% yield on a 30-day time deposit with a very reputable European institution. We decided to decline and instead buy some T-bills. Now, when we buy T-bills issued by a European government, we tend to focus on the northern European governments. And indeed, in the overnight credit markets, quite often right now, only German T-bills are accepted. Southern European T-bills are not even accepted by banks as collateral. That is how tied up the environment is right now. And as we participate in those sort of markets, we do believe we're living up to our fiduciary duty of trying to minimize the counterparty risk, but at the same time, the cost is, of course, that we're getting less yield than we would if we didn't disclose to investors what we were buying and if we were buying riskier securities that may yield more. A couple of comments on some of the currencies that we do hold and some shifts that we have made. The euro in particular, a question often comes up why we like the euro so much. On a trade-weighted basis, we do undervalue the euro, but we do in general continue to have a significant euro exposure even though we've been reducing it recently. One is that to date we believe the Europeans have been more prudent than other countries in reacting to this crisis. Now the European Central Bank is able to lower rates on the same argument that Trichet, the head of the European Central Bank, made just a brief while ago, that money is now tight. So by lowering interest rates, they are not in Europe flooding the markets with using the interest rate instrument. You can, of course, argue that they're flooding the markets with some of the other policies taken in recent days, but not with the interest rate policy. Then another comment I'd like to make is that euro bashing is very popular. People do tend to forget, though, that Europe has been around for 1,000 years. We believe Europe is going to continue to be around for a while. The euro itself is, of course, a very young policy. But many people don't understand and don't fully appreciate that the way that the European Union works is very awkward. It often looks fairly embarrassing from the inside or the outside, but they do get things done, ultimately anyway. And we see it that, for example, now with the capital injection, we were, by the way, some of the first to call out in public that if you're going to use $700 billion to subsidize the markets, it is the capital that institutions need because that can then be leveraged, used much more efficiently. And so in Europe, Gordon Brown in the United Kingdom, he took the leadership. He came up with a program in very short order, and in the U.S., the Treasury and the Fed for months were struggling to find a more comprehensive solution. And then the rest of the European Union, at least most countries, followed suit. And that kind of showed that the European Union is able to act. Now, at the same time, on the spending side, and that's on the government guarantee side and providing liquidity to the markets, on the spending side, however, we do think it is more difficult in the Eurozone to institute major spending programs. And there, on a relative basis, we do believe in the U.S. it is far easier to spend a lot of money getting Congress to agree on something. And so from a currency point of view and a price stability point of view, we do continue to believe that there is value to be held in the euro. Having said that, we have shifted some of our euro to the Swiss franc. I've tried to get a more conservative profile. One of the things we've also done is we've added the yen to our portfolio of hard currencies. We announced that a couple of days ago. And the main reason was that the financial institutions in Japan are the healthiest in the world right now. And it may sound very odd on the backdrop of what Japan has done over many years. That's the state where the world has come to. It's a fairly sad state of how things stand in the world. But the yen is these days one of the currencies that's used as a flight to quality, flight to safety, and our hard currency fund is participating in that. Moving on to the Asian currency fund, we've made substantial shifts in the Asian currency fund over to the Chinese one. With about $2 trillion in currency reserves, we believe that China is best equipped to handle this credit crisis. Credit will be extremely tight, and as a result, all the weaker players in Asia are going to have difficulty accessing capital. And so whatever decision will be made, we believe the Chinese are best equipped to deal with that. And so as of our October 10th update, we had close to 70% in the Chinese yuan in our own currency fund. Brief comment also on Canadian dollar and Australian dollar. We said early this year already that while we like both of these currencies with their commodity exposure at the time, the Australian dollar was far more vulnerable to a downturn because of the current account deficit in Australia, and we were right with that forecast. We did overestimate the resilience of the Canadians in the current crisis. When you have a meltdown scenario, there is a lot at risk in Canada because of their proximity to the U.S., because of their trade to the U.S. As I mentioned, the automotive industry has major problems. The Canadian economy has a lot of exposure to that. And having said that, in the medium to long term, the newly confirmed or elected government in Canada is expected to keep the fiscal conservative approach. We also believe that the way that the Canadians have responded to the crisis is reasonably prudent. They've only spent about 1.5% of their GDP at the bailout program compared to over 5% in the U.S., and so they're spending less money to achieve the same thing. Right now, talking about the commodity background that I just mentioned, the entire mining industry has very hard time accessing credit. Most of the mining companies are highly leveraged entities that just don't function if they don't have access to capital. And so there are some issues there. But as we believe that the next phase in after having stabilized the financial institutions is going to be government spending programs to try to jumpstart the economy, we do believe that the Canadians are far better equipped than the U.S. to benefit from anything like that. And where we do believe that there is a very serious risk in the United States that the market will impose extremely high interest rates on debt to be issued, which, by the way, is not happening so far, to just be clear on that, especially this week. A lot of debt is issued, and the rates at which they're issued are very, very low, and maybe the one kind of thought that I want to give to that is only that we've kind of reached a stage where many corporate treasury departments have just become much more conservative. They don't want any risk with their cash. And so products like CDOs and so forth are going to be a long, long time before anybody is going to touch these things in the future. Wrapping this up before I'm opening the floor for questions, the main risks out there are that the amount of money that will be spent is going to have a negative impact on the dollar. The second major risk out there is that if we're going to have fears play up on protectionism, that may be very negative for the dollar. In general, the reason we offer these is to offer diversification in the current environment. It's a volatile environment. Our space is also a volatile space. We don't use leverage, but we do invest in currencies, and even though we only invest in cash instruments, we are not a money market fund, and there is significant volatility, and we don't have the answer to all the questions, but especially investors, some say, well, why don't you put all your money in gold? Well, gold can also be very volatile. Silver, for example, has 10% moves in a day some of these days right now. Gold has been so far protected from that. So we're trying to offer a diversification vehicle. We do believe that in the medium to long term, that there are substantial risks to the U.S. dollar that persist. And ultimately, the origins of these problems are in the U.S. And so as a result, as the U.S. is throwing money at the problem in likely inefficient ways and doesn't allow the failures of the weaker players, then there are very, very serious risks that this money is just too much to be absorbed. I thank everybody for participating, and please do read our newsletter as it comes out and visit our website frequently. Our website is really the most timely place to get our views of what's happening in the markets. We do try to comment to the media. And on that note, just one more comment, is because we are active in the credit markets, we believe we understand what's happening there. We've never touched any of the toxic securities, and so we are one of the few people that that is willing to talk, and so that's one of the reasons we've had such deep reception in the media right now. But let me pass it on to Kristen, and I thank everybody for listening in here.
Okay, thanks a lot, Axel. Speaking of our website, just to let everybody know, in a few days we will have the presentation portion of this call on our website. So if you wanted to listen in again or pass it along to anybody who wasn't able to make it, that is where you'll be able to find it. And this concludes our call, and we thank you for participating. Thanks a lot.